join us to talk about it, Matt Rosenberg. Matt, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you, Cam. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on is, look, we could talk about this any night of the week, any day of the year. What's going on in Chicago is a never-ending story that should be, quite frankly, front-page news. But what is really catching people's attention right now is this 911 dispatcher from Chicago, Keith Thornton, who has gone viral with this video, which he was just blasting the city leadership for their unwillingness to get serious about violent crime, laying out some of those same things that I just talked about. He says all hell's broken loose, says that, you know, you've got broad daylight. It's not that crime just happened in the, you know, the darkness hours, but broad daylight, busy streets. You've got carjackings taking place. You've got people who are being assaulted, people who are being shot. And when you see what's going on, Matt, I mean, what is your reaction as somebody who loves this city and who loves what it can be?
I'm aghast, Cam. I grew up in Chicago. I lived there from 1964 to 1994. I've always come back. It's still one of my hometowns. I've been back there for 3 months this fall. Was back there last fall to do field work for my book. And even between 2020 and this year, it's gotten noticeably worse. You don't feel like you can be out on the street or riding public transportation. The things that are happening now are almost beyond the pale. We were just getting used to organized looting crews who are carrying, for sure, and who knows, Well, we saw that can easily head south just last weekend at a suburban mall in Oak Brook where shots were fired and people were locked down inside stores. It started with a looting attempt. Now, though, after we thought we'd gotten used to that, now we've got flash mob armed robbery crews chauffeured popping out of vehicles in tourist-friendly neighborhoods downtown and on the near north and near west sides, you know, relieving 10 people at a time of their wallets, their phones, their shopping packages, and their backpacks. You don't know what's going to happen. And if it was just guns, that would be one thing. But we've got random stabbers going at people, sometimes killing them, too. So, you know, I think the problem in the criminal justice system that you so, accurately summarized really stems from a misconception of what equity is. We're obsessed in Chicago and other big cities with equalized outcomes. We don't consider the inputs. And, apparently for people like State's Attorney Kim Fox or the prosecutor in San Francisco, Chesa Boudin, or George Gascon in L.A. or Larry Krasner in Philadelphia, you know, if there is a person of color behind bars, you know, it's a race crime in their mind. And so we end up with this misapplied notion of bail reform, which I believe was originally intended for first-time nonviolent offenders. And, now it's turned out way different.
It has turned out way different. And, you know, and I'm glad that you brought up Kim Fox, too, because it's really easy to lay the blame on Lori Lightfoot, and she certainly deserves a lot of the blame. But there's more than enough blame to go around here. And the website CWB Chicago, which I think is a great resource for people who are interested in public safety in Chicago, had a story a few days ago about Kim Fox's office and how Fox is bragging about, prosecutors approve 86% of the felony cases that Chicago police bring in for review, because it's one of the things that Lightfoot's dinging her about, right? She's not taking enough cases. So Fox comes back and says, well, listen, we accept 86% of the cases that are brought to our office. But what she's not talking about is the fact that Cook County prosecutors have successfully convicted in just 60% of felony cases this year. 60%. Well, and just because they accept a case doesn't mean that they don't drop it later. So they're, you know, this is one of the problems I think that we're dealing with, Matt, is that you've got public officials who are actively trying to obfuscate the reality of how bad things are because it doesn't look well for them. So, you know, they don't want to level with the people. They don't want to be transparent about what's going on because it's bad news for them if the people know just how bad it is in Chicago.
It's very, very true. And that article in CWB Chicago, which is an outstanding resource, and every city should have a site like this that tracks the inner workings of the local courts. That article was quite on point in noting that just because a case is accepted for prosecution doesn't mean there's not a lousy plea deal. And in fact, in my book, Cam, I detail a number of cases where lousy plea deals resulted in guys being put back out on the street who shouldn't have been put back out there, who then went and did awful things up to and including murder. You know, you got a guy, for instance, busted for juvenile armed robbery and juvenile carjacking, gets released on probation after the case is, quote, accepted for prosecution, and he goes out as an adult because he's just turned 18 and commits another carjacking, punches a guy in the head, and the guy dies, a 73-year-old black grandfather and military veteran in the neighborhood of Hyde Park on the south side where I grew up. And this is just the start. You know, we had a University of Chicago student from China, 24-year-old who just gotten his master's in statistics, bright future ahead of him, month or two ago, killed for eventually the $100 sale to a fence of his cell phone and computer. And it turned out the guy who's alleged to have done him in was also on probation, you know, for juvenile charges. So you see this stuff happening again and again, and they always game the numbers, Cam, in Chicago, whether it's talking about high school graduation rates rather than what percentage of the students can get essentially a passing grade on the SAT or the National Assessment of Educational Progress. Dismal numbers there. They game the clearance rate in the police department, sad to say, because they count as cleared something called closed, cleared exceptionally. You probably know about that. That's when the police feel they've done all they can, but right or wrong, and often wrong, the prosecutor won't take the case. The police call it closed anyway. You know, so the clearance rate is inflated by roughly a factor of two very often. There's hardly any type of number that they don't game in Chicago. And this is part of our political culture. It really gets me because it's always, can we soundbite our way out of this? And that goes along with how power is used. Power is not used for the greater good. Political power is something you hold and you build. Now, that's the same in a lot of places. But considering the challenges facing the city of Chicago, I think it's an especially egregious misuse of power because we've got so much work to do in this city.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. You know, and you're right. I mean, what you're describing, it's not that it's unique to Chicago, but Chicago is almost like the masterclass version of you know, the government corruption and the insidious nature of the bureaucracy and how it actually prevents reform. All of these things that you're talking about. And I want to drill down, if we can, Matt, and I hope that we can keep you for two segments, by the way, because this is a fascinating conversation. I think this is such an important topic. You talk about juvenile crime and the probationary sentences that a lot of these juveniles are receiving. Look, this is something that I don't think we're talking nearly enough about, because certainly, you know, the gangs and the drug dealers in Chicago know that if they let juveniles, you know, handle the drugs, handle the money, handle the guns, that they're going to walk away with a lighter sentence if they get caught, if they walk away with any sentence whatsoever. So, you know, you're seeing these adults, you know, push these juveniles into these crimes, I think, in some circumstances. But the state of Illinois is doing a horrifically bad job of rehabilitating juvenile offenders, which is supposed to be the point of the juvenile justice system, right? It's about rehabilitation. And yet the recidivism rate for juvenile offenders in Illinois is like, it's off the charts. Nationwide, I think it's like 33%. In Illinois, it's almost double that.
Very interesting. Well, it all points well taken, Cam. And another thing in Illinois is that the legislature has actively made things worse with respect to serious juvenile crime. Back in 2016, they rescinded a right granted through state law at that time to prosecutors in the counties to be able to prosecute juvenile carjackers specifically as adults. And they took that right away from prosecutors. And now, lo and behold, we see, you know, endemic juvenile carjacking in Chicago. And I mean, they go out in rings. It's as organized as can be. Often now, the cars are taken to chop shops. The initial thinking was, oh, this is thrill seeking or proving yourself, you know, making your bones to your peers. There's still some of that. But more and more, like the organized looting, this is part of an organized criminal endeavor focused on making money. So, you know, don't change the laws. Don't make things worse. And yes, what is actually going on in juvenile supervision and juvenile detention and case management? And of course, this brings us back to the, you know, the 800-pound gorilla staring everyone in the face. Except everyone's looking away. It's parents and parenting.
Yeah.
And Cam, I had a chance to go deep into the South Side. I moved into the neighborhood of Bridgeport from where five different Irish mayors of Chicago have come, including the two dailies. I moved in there and took the bus and the CTA train further deep into the South Side to neighborhoods like Englewood, Roseland, Washington Heights, and I talked with Black and Latino people in their homes and workplaces, and I collected their success stories, which are very important to know about and deserve a lot of oxygen. But I also asked how we had gotten where we are and how to get out. And I heard an awful lot about two-parent families. I heard about faith, religious faith, and I heard about charter schools, not just that, but also homeschooling. And so there's an awful lot that needs to happen that we need to be talking about solutions as well as the problems.
Absolutely. And we're talking with Matt Rosenberg, who is the author of What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. And, you know, I'm so glad to talk to people in these neighborhoods because, you know, one of the things that it's really easy for us to kind of overlook this fact, but we can't ignore it. Even in the worst neighborhoods, the number of good people far outnumber the bad actors. It doesn't take many people to ruin and destroy a neighborhood and to terrorize a community.
That's exactly right, Cam. And I've called it, you know, the tyranny of the minority. And I even have a rough estimate, probably fairly unscientific, although it jibes with some estimates about how many gang members are actually out on the streets of Chicago. You know, there's 2.7 million people in the city of Chicago. And I looked it up at the census, about a million households. Well, my unscientific estimate is that 95% of those households, there is nobody there who is practicing street violence or violent crime. About 60% of those households, let's say for the sake of discussion, are living with what I go out on a limb. I talk about something I call moral authority in my book, you know, which is basically living by the golden rule, making an effort, getting a job, training or education, living a decent life, being there for your children if you have them, all of that. I would say another 35% of households, no one is practicing violent crime in those households, but there are things that aren't working out right. People need to make a better effort, get better help. But then there's about 5% of households, I estimate, where things are deeply wrong, and these young men, and it's almost always young men, are running off the rails. So how do we reach them? You know, I learned about
hey, Matt. Can you hold that thought? Because we do need to take a break, but I want to get into how we reach them. So sure. Can I ask you to stick around for another segment?
Absolutely, Cam. I'd be delighted to.
Excellent. We are talking with Matt Rosenberg. He's the author of What Next, Chicago? Notes of a Pissed Off Native Son. And again, what we're talking about here is not just applicable to Chicago. I mean, these trends are present in every city across the country. It's Chicago has its unique circumstances, but there are lessons to take away no matter where you live on how to turn things around if there is the will to do it. So stick around. We've got much more Stacey on the Right coming up right after this.